AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is sponsored by Coron Metra. Manage fertility your way with Coron Metra from Helena, providing flexible in-season applications and maximum nutrient use efficiency. USDA Secretary Vilsack was on Capitol Hill yesterday for hearings, and we've got him on AgriTalk today. We've got a long list of issues to discuss, including supply chain vulnerabilities, hog processing line speeds, and divvying up $6 billion. And then it's time to get some reaction and some advice in today's Farmer Forum.
Live from the week's taut and toned midsection via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we welcome USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Kevin Papp and Kevin Ross. And right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I am handsome newsman Dave Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah,
hey,
man.
Hey, buddy.
It's a good day to talk about some potential disruptions to the hog slaughter, the hog processing, pork production. The reason that I mention that is we are now looking at 6 out of 7 days to the downside in hogs. Two of those days have been sharp losses, and we've got the August contract limit down again. If this,
I don't like the sound of that at all. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, if this isn't somehow tied to the potential slowdown in processing and the loss of 2.5% nationwide of slaughter capacity, then I don't have an answer for why the hog market has been experiencing as much pressure as it has been. Now, you could argue that it's just profit-taking, that the funds are stepping out of long positions that they've had on for quite some time. That may be true, but what's the incentive to do it? You know, what started this little issue? It may be, it may be the fact that we are at risk of losing some line speed. So obviously we want to get to that with Secretary Vilsack if we can. I know that Kevin Papp, Minnesota Farm Bureau president, wants to talk about that in the Farmer Forum. And then the ethanol issues. We've got to talk about that with Kevin Ross, our farmer from Iowa, who is also chairman of the National Corn Growers Association. We got a lot to cover today, buddy. And Margie's got some breaking news. So let's go ahead and get to the news, and then we'll get to Margie.
Well, let's start here. Federal Reserve officials will very likely keep interest rates near zero and maintain their monthly purchases of about $120 billion in Treasury and mortgage bonds when they wrap up their two-day meeting today. That's according to analysts. But new forecasts to be released could show that officials anticipate raising rates sooner than they did in March. Inflation is higher than had been expected just a few months ago, while unemployment remains elevated. That makes it more difficult for officials to decide when to raise interest rates or pull back on asset purchases.
Yeah. See, this is a the argument could be made, and we've had Scott Shelley on the air talking about this. We've had other economists on the air talking about this. The argument could be made that this is a different kind of inflation, that this is transitory, as the Fed says, or it could be that we are into an inflationary period. Now, in agriculture, I don't think there's any question that we are seeing inflationary pressures on the input side of things. The rest the rest of the world may just be paying catch up too when it comes to
paying
the economy.
Catch up?
Yeah.
The U.S. housing market needs 5.5 million more units, according to a new National Association of Realtors report, which is calling for a once-in-a-generation policy response. The industry lobbying group says it hopes the report, set to be released today, persuades lawmakers to include, get this, to include housing investments in any infrastructure package. U.S. builders added 1.225 million new housing units on average each year from 2001 to 2020, according to the report. Short on housing units, Chip.
Yeah. and the number of units that are being built, just trying to keep up with the demand that's out there. When a house comes up for sale, and this is, you know, it's happening all over the country. When a house comes up for sale, it usually doesn't stay there very long.
Democrats will meet today to discuss possible next steps for a massive two-track infrastructure plan. Democratic lawmakers say they would negotiate with Republicans on a bill that focuses on traditional transportation. However, if a deal cannot be reached, Democrats would fold those programs into a larger climate bill using budget reconciliation. Chip, that's a strategy that bypasses the filibuster process and allows a simple majority to pass the legislation. Now, if Democrats should go solo on this, they would need every single Democratic vote in the Senate and almost all of the Democratic votes in the House to push it through.
Right, right. And you know, when they're tying it into the larger climate bill, what we're talking about is tying it into the Green New Deal and pushing it through.
Well, we'll get more, but USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack appeared before a Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee highlighting big changes coming to the livestock sector, cyber attack prevention, disaster aid programs, ongoing COVID aid, and climate change mitigation efforts. The secretary also addressed the meeting the Biden administration's goals on CRP, FSA staffing, and rural broadband, among a host of other issues. Man,
yes, pro-farmer members, you've got to check out the policy update from Jim Wiesmeyer this morning.
Yes,
a lot of the details from the hearing are in that report from Wiesmeyer. We're going to focus on a bit on what he said at the hearings, but we've got some other issues to talk about as well.
Well, Republican House and Senate Ag Committee leaders Tuesday unveiled a study detailing negative impacts of proposed changes to capital gains and estate taxes could have on intergenerational farm transfers. And quickly, China's pig herd surged 23.5% in May compared with the prior year. They say they're back at levels seen at the close of 2017 on the hog herd. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. How are you this morning, Margie?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing well. Excited to deliver a little bit of scoop this morning.
Okay, let's get it. What you got?
Yeah, about an hour ago, it became public that two ag tech companies have joined forces, that being Bushel has acquired FarmLogs. Now, for the past 4 years, Bushel has been focusing on digitizing the business of grain companies, everything from digital scale tickets to cash grain bids. FarmLogs has really been focusing its last 10 years on developing farm management software. So merging these two companies and them coming together is really flattening the data requirements to connect on-field data all the way through the supply chain to the grain companies. And as CEO Jake Jorstad says, this is going to create, let's say, a grain passport so that you're able to see with minimal manual data input every decision that was made on that field all the way into the feed or food product that crop is used for.
You know, we've dreamt about a time that might happen where every sale is done on a containerized, identity preserved basis. And we've talked about traceability in the livestock industry. This is traceability in an opening toward that containerized market that we've talked about for years.
Yeah, I'd highlight three opportunities. As you said, identity preservation, also opportunities for crop insurance, and opportunities for so many of the sustainability or carbon programs announced. And a unique approach of this merger in ag tech would be that these are independent companies only selling software and its utilization. They aren't selling inputs, equipment, or other goods.
Yeah, exactly. It's fascinating.
So the full scoop is available at thedailyscoop.com. Folks, check it out.
Thedailyscoop.com. Excellent. Good work, Margie. Thank you so much. Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. We've got Secretary Vilsack next.
For a farmer, every day is different, and every season tells its own story. Make this the year you do it your way. Coron Metra is a foliar fertilizer that lets you decide when the time is right for nutrition. Metra gives you flexibility, it gives your tank efficiency, and Metra gives your crop more than just nitrogen. Coron Metra, the next evolution in crop nutrition. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration before use.
When it comes to Total Farm Solutions, AGI has you covered. AGI offers complete systems and solutions with industry-leading products to meet your needs. From Westeel and MFS storage bins to Nico dryers, Westfield augers, Batco conveyors, Hutchinson grain loops, to SureTrack for seed selection, planning, grain management, and marketing. AGI has the solution for you. Visit aggrowth.com for more information.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Indigo's Carbon Farming Connection, a free virtual event on June 23rd where industry-leading experts and farmers will discuss the state of agricultural carbon markets. Learn more at indigoag.com/carbonfarming.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory, and we are very happy to welcome to the show Secretary Tom Vilsack from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Secretary Vilsack, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Chip, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Busy day yesterday, that's for sure. I want to get to some of those details, but I want to start with the Build Back Better plan. We talked with Jared Bernstein from the White House Council of Economic Advisors about the plan last week, but I do want to touch it on it briefly with you, because $4 billion to remove some of the vulnerabilities from the supply chain in agriculture, that's a nice amount of money for this, but where do you plan to start with that?
Chip, it's in four areas. Focus on production. An example would be providing resources to farmers to successfully transition to certified organic practices if they choose to do so for that value-added opportunity. Additional support for farm workers and meatpacking workers who have had to deal with a variety of challenges relative to their safety during the pandemic. Money for small pork producers who may have to shift over into the spot market based on the line speed case that was decided in Minnesota. Those kinds of things. Also processing, looking for an opportunity to expand processing capacity. In the U.S., I think it's fairly clear that producers believe we don't have enough, as well as additional support for small and mid-sized processing facilities that currently do exist. Look at ways in which we can aggregate local and regional food systems so that those small and mid-sized producers that rely on those local markets have an opportunity to benefit. And then making sure that as we're using our procurement dollars, as we purchase commodities for school lunch programs, for food banks, et cetera, that we're doing so in providing an opportunity for even the small and mid-sized producers to benefit from that kind of program. So it's a combination of a number of opportunities.
I'll tell you this right now. I've seen a lot of conversations about this Build Back Better plan, and I've never heard a more detailed answer than what you just gave us, Secretary Vilsack. So obviously, given that a lot of thought, you mentioned the slowdown in the line speeds. The hog industry is looking for some help in appealing that federal court decision. Several in the industry are looking to you to help appeal that decision. Is that going to happen?
That's not a decision I can make. It's done by the Solicitor General. What we can do is to provide the $50 million resource for producers who end up having to go into the spot market, who don't get the benefit of a contract if there is, in fact, a reduction in line speed that causes a disruption in the market. You know, the parties are talking right now. Okay. The case, obviously, the ruling doesn't go into effect until the end of the month, and so hopefully something can be worked out between the workers and the companies. I'll tell you, Chip, the USDA can't be put in a position of having to choose food safety, worker safety, and farmer profit. That's not a choice that we should have to make. We should have all three. We should have farmer profit. We should make sure our workers in those production facilities are safe, and we should certainly make sure that the food that we're consuming is safe. So the key here is to try to find a way in which we can have all three, not having to pick two of the three.
Yeah. I was going to make the comment that this feels like a situation in which you're caught in the middle, and it's not just in the middle of two parties, it's in the middle of three parties. So I understand that. I understand. I'm not going to push it. USDA raised a lot of interest when it announced that you're beginning the process of finalizing three different rules for enforcement under packers and stockyards. What are the issues being targeted there?
Well, we want to make sure that we have a clarification of the scope of packers and stockyards, whether it's necessary to demonstrate harm or likely harm to the entire industry or to the individual producer. So essentially, the scope of the act needs to be better defined. We also need to draw a brighter line in terms of what constitutes unfair practices or undue preferences or prejudice to particular producers, to be able to give producers a fair shot in the market. And in the poultry system, as you know, there's a poultry growing ranking system that enables folks to basically create value-added opportunities based on this ranking. We just want to make sure that the requirements are in fact appropriate and are in fact being utilized to determine the payment. We're a little concerned that there may be some unfairness, potentially some discriminatory and deceptive practices involved here. So we want to make sure that the rules are very, very clear.
Okay. Okay. Very good. At the hearing yesterday, you said that you support the proposal to appoint a special USDA investigator to examine competition issues in meat packing. Do you think that that's necessary before finalizing these rules?
No, not necessary at all from a standpoint of our ability to basically Good. Create a clear, bright line. Obviously, an investigator would give us the capacity to get information that we're currently not getting, which may aid in price discovery. I think there's some concern that we may not have full transparency when it comes to pricing, and so producers may not have the full story, if you will, on what the market actually is and whether or not they're getting a fair shake from whoever it is they're doing business with.
Okay. When do you think that this could happen? Because I know that it's high on the priority list to have somebody at USDA on livestock producer side other than yourself, because we're seeing that more and more now.
Well, I think the rule making process can continue pretty rapidly as things take place in Washington. I mean, we're talking about the ability to get things done over a course of months. It does. There's a process. There's notice. There's opportunity for people to have comments. You have to review the comments. You have to incorporate them in whatever you finally decide. Then you have to publish it. And oftentimes there's litigation surrounding the rules. So it can be a process, but we're going to go through it. On the legislative side, well, it's anybody's guess how quickly that can be considered in a bipartisan way. But it's certainly a good sign that Senator Grassley and Senator Tester, for example, are championing this effort.
Right, working together on that. Very good. $6 billion in COVID aid being divvied up. Biofuel producers, $700 million. What might qualify a producer for a payment there?
Well, it's basically looking at ways in which we can provide assistance and help to the industry. We're still working on the details. The notice of funds availability, which is the structure by which these payments will be available, will be likely published at the end of this month. So we're still fine-tuning this. But the idea here is the biofuel industry didn't receive much in the way of assistance and help during COVID, and they were obviously impacted and affected by a number of other issues. And so this is designed to help. And it's frankly very consistent with what we're doing with the pandemic assistance effort. We're looking back. We're asking the question, who didn't get helped or who didn't get helped as much as they needed during the course of COVID? Well, we know that biofuels, we know the dairy industry, we know that contract poultry growers were hurt. We know that a lot of money was spent in processing, protecting workers. We know that there were organic producers that were hurt. We also know the timber industry was impacted. So this was an effort, as well as the fact that some people had to euthanize their livestock because there was no market opportunity. So all of that is designed. We're trying to provide some measure of relief and acknowledgement that there was wide-scale pain suffered in the countryside as a result of COVID.
Okay, that payment for the contract hog producers out there, is that going to only those that had to euthanize animals or those that suffered from a depressed market as well?
This is primarily directed toward the euthanized
Gotcha.
Population.
Gotcha.
I think there were additional resources that were and will continue to be available to other folks. But this was one area that didn't receive help and assistance, and we thought it was necessary to do so.
All right. What's your message to EPA about the rumored adjustments to the RVOs and even some blending exemptions for small refineries?
Well, they are, you know, dealing with a tough situation over there because they are dealing with the consequences of decisions that were made in the previous administration in terms of what happened in 2020 and what's happening in 2021. You know, obviously, the hope is that at the end of the day, whatever they announce, it's not just going to impact and affect those 2 years, but there's also likely going to be an announcement on 2022. And so I think it's going to be important before we make judgment about this to take a look at the total package to see exactly where we are at the end of the day. We're obviously expressed the need for this industry to be supportive. You know, you can't get to climate change without cleaner burning fuel, and obviously the biofuel industry is doing that.
Secretary Vilsack, you've been very generous with your time and with the number of issues that you covered. Thank you so much.
You bet, Chip. Take care.
You bet. That is USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. We're going to get some reaction from Kevin and Kevin next in the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Soybeans to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, we've been watching the spring wheat market, watching the corn market very closely, and both of those markets caught a bid. What's going on?
Well, spring wheat, you know, obviously concerns there with the crop and the extreme dryness that the Northern Plains is experiencing. Rainfall chances, while the Midwest has some over the next 10 days or so, not much in that Northern Plains area. So, you know, that's the driver in spring wheat. That's pulling the winter wheat market higher. Now, corn, you know, trading to the upside on just some corrected buying. We did have a daily corn sale this morning to unknown destinations. That's the first daily sale since May 27th. So that's given us a little bit of price support. But that the rainfall chances in the 10-day forecast that I talked about, they're somewhat holding back buyer interest, and we are about 5-6 cents off the intraday highs here.
Okay. All right. Very good. Beans really don't want to participate in that move to the upside.
Well, the reason they don't want to participate, the soy oil market is just hemorrhaging at this point in time and down sharply. Now, there's huge spreading action in the soy product markets. The meal market's trading solidly to the upside and soy oil is sharply lower. So beans are following soy oil at the moment, but major spreading action in the soy complex today.
All right. Might be a little biodiesel, renewable diesel issues going on there. What about lean hogs? Limit down in the hog.
Yeah, sharply lowered the limit down, so continuing their pullback here. Now, you know, the cash index continues to rise and futures are falling, and so we're widening the discount that the July holds to the cash market.
All right. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
I'm Tyne Morgan.
.va.gov or talk to a lender of your choice. Choose VA.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
It starts with a plan. That's why America's Conservation Ag Movement is inviting you to get your farm business ready for 2021 with a free Resource Stewardship Planning Guide. Get your free guide today at agweb.com/ACAM.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Florey, and we're going to get going into the Farmer Forum here in just a moment. Farmer Forum is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, and including some of the sponsors: American Farmland Trust, Corteva, Ducks Unlimited, Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, National Corn Growers Association, National Pork Board, Sanderson Farms. And, of course, it is done with the financial and technical support of USDA's NRCS. Kevin Papp is Minnesota farmer, also the president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Kevin, welcome back to the Farmer Forum. How are you?
Doing very well. Just kind of looking for some rain someday.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get to that here in a moment. And Kevin Ross, current chairman of the National Corn Growers Association and a farmer over in Western Iowa. You're looking for some of that rain too, aren't you, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of folks that are looking for it around the country, and we're fortunate to have been getting a little bit, but we can always use more right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome, Kevin. Glad that you could make time for us. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and I want to start with an issue that that Kevin Papp wanted to talk about, and we talked about it with Secretary Vilsack just now. And when I look at this pressure that we're seeing on hogs, because we've got the cash market moving to the upside, demand for hogs right now is outstanding, Kevin, but the futures market is telling us that there's a problem out there on the horizon, and it's got to be this line speed issue, isn't it?
Well, we've really got some concerns. You know, the pipeline is already full of pigs, and yes, this isn't going to have a big nationwide capacity impact, but this is going to have a big Minnesota capacity impact when we see those changes at Austin and Fremont.
Yeah, we definitely need to see that because, I mean, nationwide, it's 2.5%. But in some of those regional areas, it's going to be cutting shackle space by as much as 20%. The secretary was talking about sending some of that Build Back Better money out in support of those smaller producers that might have to move their marketings to the spot market, Kevin. But we'd rather have the shackle space.
Yeah, you know, that's a must. And, you know, we've been through this the last couple of years. We know workers have to be healthy. They have to feel safe. We have to have adequate compensation. But we've got to remember, animals do not store well. We've got to have that shackle space.
Yeah, yeah. Senator Grassley on Monday on the show, Kevin Papp, pointed at the labor unions and said that this is as much a labor union issue as anything else out there. What's your take there?
Well, we're certainly trying to work together, have all stakeholders at the table. I know something we're doing in Minnesota, the governor's put together an agriculture work, this wellness committee, where everyone is represented, not only agriculture, but regulatory agencies, the labor unions, and everybody else. And we just need to sit down and talk about how we can get through this together.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the thing is, the clock is ticking on this issue. There's no question about it. So we're going to have to see some progress made on this one. Kevin Ross, can you believe that we are still having conversations about small refinery exemptions and whittling away at the renewable volume obligations with the way that the Biden administration has been talking about the environment? You would think that this would be a non point of discussion anymore, Kevin Ross.
Yeah, absolutely, Chip. It kind of blows me away that this is even being suggested by the administration right now. It also concerns me a little bit that the secretary, who, you know, has been a champion of biofuels in his previous service there, and I'm certain will be again and is mentions that we need to look at the total package coming out of the administration on this issue. So that concerns me a little bit as to what that might mean. Definitely appreciate their efforts in the $700 million an ounce for the biofuels industry in regards to COVID relief and issues around those markets. But the fact that we're bringing up this RVO discussion again and all the small refinery exemptions once again, it just blows me away that we're having this discussion. If these refineries would look at the RFS the way it's intended and actually invest in their biofuels blending instead of turning around and complaining about RIN prices and fighting a fight in a really underhanded and I think a backwards manner, you know, we wouldn't be having this issue. And it's just it's frustrating to continue down this road and see people not embrace the benefits of biofuels as they, you know, as they should and as the way that the law intends them to be increased and move forward. So we've got a lot of positives in the story to tell, and we continue to tell that and continue to have good support through the secretary and others, but we've got to make sure this administration, you know, holds up their end of the bargain when they talk about these discussions about climate and how you know, how we can use the benefits of biofuels to achieve some of their goals.
Yeah, Kevin Ross, you made the comment there about just following the laws of the renewable fuel standard. That's all American agriculture and farmers have been asking all along, is that the rules of the RFS and the congressional intent of the RFS be followed. That is being put to a test right now with the Supreme Court case on those gap year exemptions. I think we're going to get a decision on that by the end of the week, aren't we, Kevin? Do you have an update on that, Kevin Ross?
Yeah, I'm hearing very similar, you know, time frames there, Chip, and I hope we have positive results out of that. You know, this became to a lot of people's surprise, more of a question on that continuation, you know, discussion and how they view, you know, how they view some terminology, and it's going to be, you know, going to be rather upsetting if we have a you know, a backwards movement on this. Yeah. due to that type of interpretation. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we end up in a very positive spot as we have before in this lawsuit, and that it's upheld. But we're going to know soon enough, and hopefully, you know, we can continue the positive movement towards more biofuels being blended.
Yeah, Kevin Papp. Minnesota has been one of the more aggressive in pushing biofuels forward. What's your message to EPA Administrator Regan on this?
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about what American farmers want. Let's talk about what Americans want. They've been pretty clear that we want increased energy security. We want decreased emissions, which will increase air quality. They want us to do something on climate change, reducing greenhouse gases. Well, renewable fuels, ethanol and biodiesel, they check all four of those boxes. Increase our security, decrease emissions, helps us with our air quality. And quite frankly, that's something we can do today, going to an E15 that will have an effect today on greenhouse gases.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Ross, if they do this at EPA, if they come with lower RVOs or if they come with some small refinery exemptions, you got to question the sincerity of the Biden administration's climate message altogether, don't you?
Yeah, I hope we don't have to do that. I think Administrator Regan has sent the right messages so far in discussions that he's had. We just, you know, that's one of the first opportunities that they're going to have to really back it up and talk about you know, what they're looking for in the future of this biofuels industry. I certainly hope we've got the beginnings of a good relationship there and what will increase these blends moving forward. And I can't echo what Mr. Papp said enough. Those are you know, these types of fuels solve so many of the problems that they're trying to eliminate. And you know, we're here to help as an industry, and it certainly helps all of agriculture really move these things forward.
Yeah, Kevin, and it seems like all of corporate America is looking to agriculture to solve the carbon issue. And do you feel like maybe agriculture is being asked to pull a little bit too much of the weight when it comes to carbon reduction?
I wouldn't say that at all. I think we've got a great opportunity in this, you know, this arena of carbon. But is it confusing? Are there, you know, many different avenues that are being, you know, pushed towards producers? And I think there's a lot to be sorted out yet in this discussion. But is it an opportunity for producers to you know, to add value to their core crops of, you know, corn and beans and wheat and other crops that are out there. I think absolutely it is. We just got to make sure that, you know, that we're, you know, seeing the opportunities for what they are and really quantifying the benefits in a way that makes sense.
Okay. Kevin Papp, same question to you. Do you feel like agriculture is being asked to do too much?
Well, we're certainly being asked to do an awful lot, and that's because we can do a lot, whether it's with renewable fuels, other things. We just need to be at the table and have open, transparent discussions on what it is possible and what is not possible, both economically and environmentally.
All right, very good. Hey, I need both of you to stand by. We've got Kevin Papp, farmer from Minnesota, president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau. We've got Kevin Ross, Western Iowa farmer and chairman of the National Corn Growers Association. When we come back, a couple of big issues that I want to tackle. Number one, waters of the U.S., rewrite the rules? And what about this tax proposal from the Biden administration? We need to get your reaction to that as well. That's next here on the Farmer Forum.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture, and is brought to you by Pivot BioProven.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Indigo's Carbon Farming Connection, a free virtual event on June 23rd, where industry-leading experts and farmers will discuss the state of agricultural carbon markets. Learn more at indigoag.com/carbonfarming.
Farmer Forum is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement, which is sponsored by SimPass, the Nature Conservancy, United Sorghum Checkoff Program, Valent USA, Farm Journal Foundation, and Trust in Food, and it is done with the financial and technical support of USDA's NRCS. We are having a conversation today with Kevin Papp. Kevin is a Minnesota farmer and president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Kevin Ross, Iowa farmer, chairman of the National Corn Growers Association. Guys, you know, I'll start with Kevin Ross on this one. Kevin, we talked about going back in time and having to deal with some SREs and some RVO issues. We're back to trying to figure out what water is under control of the U.S. federal government again.
Yeah, it's like we just keep recycling the same issues, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, the water of the U.S., you know, it's just always concerning as we look at this this moving forward. You know, is there certainly a need for federal government to, you know, be involved in water quality issues? Certainly, but at what level and what level of regulation is that is the question. So,
right,
how do we how do we keep them out of every little puddle out there and really, you know, make it make sense? You know, that's what we're looking for, and growers have to deal with water every day, and we'd like to deal with it a little bit more lately, but I think inherently it's one of those issues that we've got to have a lot of input on as we move this forward, and as we did before, because we had a lot of farmers and growers and livestock producers that were certainly very vocal on this issue and concerned about what it may mean for their operations across the U.S., and we're going to continue to fight for those discussions at NCGA as well as you know, the impacts that it'll have on the ground and what that really makes sense for that government role to be.
Right. Kevin Papp, if it goes all the way back to the Obama era, the 2015 WOTUS, that's an overreach that it's unacceptable.
Well, it's unacceptable to try to write navigable out to just change it to all waters, you know. Farmers and ranchers want two things. We want clean water and clear rules. What we don't want is have to hire a team of lawyers and consultants to help us determine what is federally regulated and what is state regulated, or both in some cases. So clarity, certainty, we thought we were there with some of these changes, but we're going to continue to be at the table.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really disappointing, and it seems like a lot of the focus here on this one could be the Southwest, with some of those dry creek beds that carry basically flash floods a few days a year. And if It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. No question about it. Another one that's front and center for a lot of producers right now, Kevin Ross, are the proposed tax changes on the estate side of things. Getting rid of the step up in basis, reducing the exemptions. That's a big concern for a lot of producers out there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And really the amount of dollars that we deal with in agriculture, it's different than a lot of other industries from what we consider a family level, even, and really the investment that has to be made to, within farms now from land base and other things. But really this hits mostly in the land arena, when it comes to these businesses and how that works from a family's perspective and how they want to transfer the assets within that if they can. And the types of laws that are being proposed right now could have significant impacts to many, many, many operations across the entire U.S. right now. And so we thought we'd gotten to a pretty good space in the last round of these kind of tax discussions and movements. And I think a lot of people were pretty pleased with where the current exemptions are. But this stepped-up basis issue is very big as well.
Yeah. Kevin Papp, what's your take on it?
I agree 100% with Kevin Ross on that. It's so important to sustainability, generational sustainability in agriculture. Chip, I want to go back just a couple, 30 seconds back to WOTUS.
Yeah.
Talking about when there's only water when it rains, in a direct response to rainfall, I think we have to recognize that we're really regulating land and not water. And this is all about where does the water end and the land begin. And again, we want clarity and certainty. We don't want to hire lawyers and consultants.
Yeah, boy, you got that right. And when we're using the Clean Water Act to regulate land use, it's like Senator Grassley said on Monday on the show, he feels like it would regulate like 97% of Iowa, and you'd have to get a permit for standard farming practices, Kevin Ross. I mean, that's a little disturbing if we would have to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you mentioned overreach in general and where we were at, with the Obama rules under WOTUS. And right now it comes to mind as well. Kevin Papp, I think, made a great point about regulating land, but you also take a look at what's going on right now in the South and the amount of, rainfall that they've just recently had in some areas. You're talking, in the teens and 20 inches in some spots in just a matter of days. And, you just can't really imagine what it takes from a governmental standpoint to even have the capacity to deal with these issues. And those are the types of things that clearly are overreach when it comes to
Right.
the way we view these issues.
Right. Well, you guys, let's do the rain dance, say a prayer for rain, and hopefully you both get some here in the near term. Kevin Ross, you travel safe, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Chip.
Yeah, Kevin Papp, you've got a webinar coming up tomorrow to discuss USMCA, right?
Yep, we're going to talk about that. We actually have presidents getting together to talk about WOTUS.
Outstanding. Good work, Kevin. Check that out at Minnesota Farm Bureau website, and the details will be there. Thank you for your time, Kevin.
Thank you.
You bet. Now, come back this afternoon. We got Darren Fessler from Lakefront Futures. And tomorrow morning, we're going to have a conversation with Jeff Broin from Poet and Amy Wagner from DMI.